today on Living on Every Word.
How many of you have been anxious this week? Stressed? Worried? I just come under the conviction that a thankful heart drives out anxiety. Doesn't drive out the problem. It doesn't drive out the uncertainty. It drives out the anxiety. You want to attack anxiety today? Thank God for it.
Is your life ruled by fear and anxiety? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how the principle of thanksgiving can replace your fear and anxiety with an unwavering peace in part two of The Thanksgiving Miracle. Living on
Every Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue our message from last week on thanksgiving. The whole thought of supernatural things happen when we thank God for everything. Supernatural things happen when we thank God for everything. When I think about just this whole journey that we began talking about last week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the scripture says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for your life. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus." Would I come to a point a year ago, last November, to dare to believe that passage of Scripture, to dare believe that whatever was happening in my life that I could thank God for or I could thank God in those circumstances, whether they were good circumstances or bad, whether they were beautiful circumstances or whether they were just rotten and ugly? Would I be able to lay down my life in such a way, believing in the sovereign power of my Almighty God and the Savior of my soul? Would I be able to trust in Him with such great measure to say, "Okay, God, I'll thank you for this. I don't like it. It's not comfortable. But I, in the name of Jesus, will thank you. Because you say in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul would tell the Ephesians in chapter 5 of that book, in verse 20, would say, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." Always giving thanks for all things. And so, sometime in October, actually, last year, I began a journey. And that journey, as we talked about last week, would be a journey of really attempting, really desiring, really wanting to default to thanksgiving and everything. You know, it sure beats grumbling. Don't you think? It sure beats complaining. Don't you think? It sure beats wringing your hands in angst or depression. Don't you think? Don't you think that thanksgiving and worship and rejoicing beats all of those things? Because I don't know about you, when I grumble first off, or second off, or third off, or if I complain first off, does that help me? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, the grumbling spirit has moved me to entitlement. It's moved me to anger, and then ultimately bitterness. Angry at God, angry at the circumstances, angry at my wife, angry at my kids, angry at my spouse, angry at my dad, angry at this and that, angry because of the circumstances of my life. I'm just going to say this again. The anger of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. You being angry, you being complaining does not establish God's righteousness in your life. And is that not the purpose of God? That God's righteousness might be established in your soul and in your life, so that the righteousness of God is what's coming out of your life, what's coming out of you. Not the complaint, not the grumbling, not any of those things. Does that mean that I've defaulted to everything in my life to thanksgiving? No. I've grumbled and I've complained. I'm just saying, grumbling and complaining does not work. So why would I want to spend another day complaining to God? Why would I want to spend another day of my life being angry at somebody when I know that it doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God? Matter of fact, in my experience through Scripture, reading Scripture in my own life, when I'm angry, it doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. It accomplishes the unrighteousness of the enemy, my life. So beginning this journey year ago to say, God, I want to thank you for everything. And as I began that process and as I began moving through that, I faced some very hard things, some very difficult things that did not change. But what I found was my attitude and my heart changing. To be able to come to this place in my life to know that if I could thank God for a Friday 2,000 years ago at one of the most heinous crimes against a man, the God-man Jesus, who hung on a cross for 6 hours suffocating or on the way to suffocation, whipped with the 39 lashes, if I could thank God for that ugly scene, because we thank God for the cross, we thank God for what it accomplished, and if I can thank God for that, can I not thank him for anything and everything? Can I not trust him? Do you know that's what the Bible says about Jesus? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured it for you and me. For the joy set before him. The Bible says he submitted himself not to reviling, not to anger, but he submitted himself to God who judges righteously. And if God in flesh can do that and did that, and he is living in our hearts, can we not do the same? I really appreciate some of you who came up this past week and just said, hey, I've started my list. I've started my thank you list. And some of you have begun that, thanking God for the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, the easy, the obvious, the unobvious. It is transforming. How do we know that? Well, last week, and you might get the CD if you'd like, but we saw last week that when we look at the word thanksgiving, the word is eucharisteo. We didn't say this last week, but the root word of that is grace, charis. It's right there in the middle of it. God's grace. Eucharisteo. I thank God. That's the verb. I thank God. Eucharisteo, thanksgiving. And every time you see it in the gospel, something phenomenal happens. Last week we saw 10 lepers that were healed, and one came back to thank God. And God just didn't say, hey, your faith has made you clean. No, your faith has saved you. And through that one act of thanksgiving, he found the salvation of God. We also saw that when Jesus broke bread and broke fish, a couple of loaves, 4 or 5 loaves, a few fish, he thanked God for it. He broke it, and it multiplied. Thanking God for it, feeding 5,000 men and their spouses, and their children, and their children's children. Supernatural things happen when you thank God. Supernatural things happen. I mean, were there not subtle supernatural things that happened this week in your life as you gave a full day to Thanksgiving with family and friends? Did you not see the joy? Did you not see the comfort? Did you not see those things that God granted you great peace during these moments? Thanksgiving in abundance. Thanksgiving when it's not so much abundant in everything. Jesus broke that bread and poured that wine, and before he did that, he thanked God for it and then marched to Calvary for your salvation and my salvation. To me, that's a miracle. Amen. Amen. Thanking God. Thanking God and seeing the miracle take place. Seeing God move in mysterious and unusual and wonderful ways. Wonderful ways. Well, this morning as I look at Philippians, and we kind of ended with that last week and just were able to read it, I want to just move through this passage of Scripture and continue to talk about thanksgiving faith in our lives and what that could mean. So we see supernatural things take place. Now notice Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. How many of you have been anxious this week? Stressed? Worried? I just come under the conviction that a thankful heart drives out anxiety. doesn't drive out the problem. It doesn't drive out the uncertainty. It drives out the anxiety. You want to attack anxiety today? Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Praise Him for it. When I thank God in that moment, when I'm anxious, the Bible says, you be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now watch, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 is a very important verse. When I look at verse 7 and it says that the peace of God will transcend or surpass all comprehension. In other words, this peace just doesn't make sense. I'm facing something hard. I'm facing something difficult. I've been facing it. It's been hard. And what I've decided to do was to rejoice always. I've decided in this passage of Scripture to let my, actually the word gentle is forbearing spirit. I'll confess it. I'm struggling. I know God is near. And I choose not to be anxious by in everything through prayer and supplication where I turn my heart toward God. I let Him know what my requests are, but I do it with great thanksgiving. And peace comes. How many of you experienced that before? Peace beyond all comprehension. I've got peace right here, and I don't understand why. I have a real good friend who's dying of brain cancer. It's under his ministry that I first knew that I was called to be a pastor at 10 years old. You know, I didn't think about this till the other day, but it wasn't just that message that he spoke in church that day, but he'd been the children's church preacher for a year that my brother and I sat under. Very influential in our family's life. It goes back, we go back 43 years. And in October, he went to the pulpit one Sunday morning and lost all the feeling in his left hand, and a battery of tests showed that he had stage 4 cancer of the brain. And this is what I thought when my brother and I and his wife were visiting, because Jeff worked with him for 5 years, my brother in ministry, and he's still in that church, he's still his pastor. And I thought, this man is still mentoring me. He's showing me how to face death, how believers in Christ face death that surpasses all comprehension. And do you know what he said? He said, my life has been so full and so blessed that I'm not about to negotiate with God another 15 seconds. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I have unabashed joy. Unabashed joy moving toward that moment. Where does that come from? See, we as believers, we don't grieve like the rest of the world grieves. And we don't face death like the rest. Why? Because there's this peace that comes that surpasses all understanding. And you know what that peace does? It guards your heart and your mind. Because I know my mind can go 1,000 places. Doesn't yours? And it go to places that it doesn't need to go. And I can wake up one day and realize that my heart is far from where it used to be. Because I let anxiety rule me. I let uncertainty rule me. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. To me, man, I pray he'd be healed today. But to me, the supernatural thing has already happened. It's peace that's guarding his heart in Christ Jesus. Every one of you who raised your hand just a moment ago, you experience the supernatural power and hand of God. You experienced a miracle that then this human flesh can find peace in the worst of circumstances. Miraculous things happen when I thank God. So I begin this journey by thanking Him. Yeah, I'm praying and I'm rejoicing and I'm rejoicing always. But the supernatural thought for me is I get to receive peace. Now keep your place marked there and go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And just notice a couple of verses of Scripture. We're going to look just real briefly at John 14 verse 27. It says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You have an opportunity to find peace from the world that is only temporary and only fleeting. It's only for a moment and it doesn't run deep. Peace from the world will be, oh, I'm doing better financially, so I got a better peace. Something happened to me that was really nice. I got a good diagnosis. Peace. Yeah. Whew, glad that's over. That's not the peace he's talking about. Peace that God talks about that he gives is deep. It's deep. It sees to the future. It sees to the purposes of God. It looks beyond the trial. It looks beyond the date. It looks beyond the pain, and it looks to see what God is doing and how he's working and how he's moving and what he's promised to accomplish in our lives. That's what peace does. I got a peace in God. I got a peace in his certainty. I got a peace in his control. I got a peace in his plan. Not my plan, not man's plan, but God's plan. This peace I give you is not of the world. Then he'll go on to say in another passage in John, I think chapter 17, my peace I give to you. Yeah, this peace that I'm giving to you. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's one thing certain about this week, next week, and the week after. In any other week that we live, tribulation is right before us. We're going to experience tribulation. We're going to experience difficulty. The question is, will I choose to rejoice always? Will I choose to know that God is near? Will I choose to believe that in turning my heart toward him and thanking him in all things, that God will bring peace in my heart? Because I want to say this, if I have peace and it's the peace of God, nothing else really matters. It doesn't. My brother asked Mike on Wednesday, what's the one thing that you're learning in these last 4 weeks? This way they did this. Everybody look at me. Just let it go. There's nothing in this life to hold you. Nothing in this life compared to Jesus Christ to hold you. So just let it go. There are too many trivial things in this life that we have put our trust, our hope, and our happiness in that's fleeting. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Seeking him first, thanking him in all things. Let me ask you, do you believe that you have the power to do those kinds of things? And if you have the Spirit of God, it's your nature. It's who you are. As Christ goes, so do I. As Christ is in the world, so am I. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And what I have found in these days, that yes, in the world you have tribulation, but I, he says, have overcome the world. Therefore, I can walk in this peace no matter what. Back in Philippians, Paul will go on to say in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, you practice these things. Now watch, and the God of peace will be with you. You practice these things, the scripture says. You practice the way that Christ faced turmoil and trial and struggle, the same way that Paul did it. And he's saying it, look, just watch me. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen, practice these things. And this God of peace will be with you. Verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Thanksgiving produces peace, but I believe that thanksgiving faith produces contentment. Well, why wouldn't it? If you got peace, you're content. There's this sweet contentment in Christ, sweet contentment in my circumstances, a sweet contentment, whether it's in my job, my finances, my aging, my illness, whatever those things, and if I'm content and if I'm peaceful in Jesus, then I find a contentment. And I want to ask you, do you have peace today? And the second thing is, are you content? Now, I know that there is a biblical discontentment that's good. In other words, I'm not content where I am spiritually. I want to move on with God, okay? That's a good one. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to leave my first love. I mean, those kinds of things that I want to continue to follow after God. But when it comes to this life, I need to find contentment. Look at verse 12. What he says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled. I've also learned the secret of going hungry. I know the secret of contentment when I have an abundance, and then when I suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Content. And I love what Paul says. Paul says, listen, I know how to be content in a prison cell in Rome, where I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know also how to get along with a lot when my tent making business is going well, or when I'm living with the rich people of Philippi. I know the secret of contentment. I know how to get along with nothing, and I know how to get along with a bunch. And I'm going to tell you this, there's a whole lot of people in this world who do not know how to get along with a bunch. Is that not right? That's right, isn't it? Then why is peace and contentment so elusive to us? Apostle Paul said, listen, I know how to do that. I know the secret of contentment. And I believe it goes right back to what we're talking about. Rejoicing always. Know that the Lord is near, and in everything give thanks. When you pray and you supplicate, you do it with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving precedes the miracle. Supernatural things happen. You thank God. And I want to challenge you to that this week. Challenge me to it. I don't know what's going to happen to me this week. I don't know what's going to happen to you. My friend didn't know Saturday that he's going to wake up and go to the pulpit feeling horrible and losing the feeling in his left hand. The question, though, is, big question, is will I find peace and will I find contentment? And really, the third thing about this Thanksgiving, you always find strength. You always find strength. Verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know what? We can look at that verse of Scripture, and when that Scripture just stands alone, it's powerful. But when it stands with the context of what we're talking about, I want to tell you, it's more than powerful. We're not talking about doing good in sports. That can be so trivial. Think about that. We do well in sports, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what about that other believer on the other side? Listen, when he's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's talking about living his life amongst tribulation and trial and struggle and learning how to get along in abundance and learning how to get along with nothing. His spirit never changes. Doesn't mean he doesn't struggle. Doesn't mean he's not tempted. And it doesn't even mean that he's not failed a few times. The key is he's learning. He's learning, and he's learned the secret of contentment. What I find in the Apostle Paul is that he's not grumbling. He's not complaining. He's just thanking his great God, and he is finding the strength to move in places that would not have the strength, would not have the peace, would not have the life without thanksgiving. Without a proper view of the lordship of our great God, the sovereign work of our great God. I submit it. I let it go. And I follow hard after him. Is this easy? No, it's not easy. Because everything in my flesh, in your flesh, wants to do the opposite of what God wants. And that's just the flesh. I mean, you've got the enemy, right? You've got the demonic host. I mean, you've got all these things working. But what I'm so grateful for is all the things that are working in me through the Spirit of God. And I want to ask you, church, are you finding that even in the midst of the junk and the stuff, that as you thank God, that you're seeing life change from your perspective? And yeah, sometimes God just does it immediately. The leper, he gets saved, and yeah, he breaks the bread and it's multiplied. You know, I was thinking about this and about when Jesus is breaking the bread, you know he had to break it before it was multiplied? And the miracle was found in the breaking? Found in the breaking. that God broke it, thanked God for it, and broke it. And as he broke it and broke it and broke it and broke it, it multiplied for the glory of God. And it fed 5,000 men. And the miracle was found in the breaking after a thanksgiving. Some of us have been broken. Broken. But once you know that you've passed through it and you look back, you saw the miracle in the breaking. Thank God for the breaking. Thank him. Will we dare to do that? Because I tell you, you will find strength, you will find peace, you will find life, you will find contentment. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Do I dare thank God? Do I dare thank God for everything? What kind of man thanks God for his wife having cancer? Who thanks God for cancer? Who thanks God for stuff? Who thanks God for blindness? I was reading this the other day. There was a blind man, and the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin to cause this blindness? And Jesus said, neither of them sinned. He's blind for the glory of God, so that the glory of God might be shown. And then you remember the story? He spits into the sand or the dirt, and he comes up with mud, and he washes the guy's eyes with mud. And he says, you go to the Siloam and go to Siloam and wash your eyes. You'll be healed. Thank God for blindness. I know that's hard. And I know that some of us, we can't get there. And then, you know what I told you last week? It's okay. Maybe for you, for me, it's thank God for it. Maybe for you, it's thank God in it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. Just thank God. Just thank God and watch him work. Again, if I can thank God for the cross, the bloody mess of the cross, and what that did, I can thank him for everything, knowing that what is working out is his good will and good pleasure. And that's why Jesus rejoiced when he saw it. Yeah, he endured the cross, despised the shame, sat at the right hand of the Father for the joy set before him. And that's where our joy is. And that's where our thanksgiving is. God, I thank you for this thing in my life because I know you're causing it to work out for my good. And we will stand on that promise. You're working out your will in us. And I want to thank you and I want to praise you and bless you for it. Lord, I pray that these before me will know that I have a man that is hurt, that is lost. Know what it's like not to know where my next dime's coming from. I know what it's like to go through hardship. I know what it's like to go with uncertainty. But I also know, Lord, that over this past year, I'm seeing you work out things that I just believe are a result of thanking you and praising you and believing you. Thanksgiving, faith, and peace. Thanksgiving, faith, and salvation. Thanksgiving, faith, and contentment. Thanksgiving, faith, and strength. Endurance. I pray that for our people today. And God, we thank you for the great things you're doing in our lives. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.
living on.